Right.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks. All right, let's go to Matthew 18, please. Matthew 18. I want to give you just a very simple thought this evening. our kids' club workers need their sleep, so I don't want to wear you out, but it's a very small thought here, but it's a basic thought, but an incredible thought. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, and let's read a few verses here. Matthew 18, 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, please bless us as we look at your word and encourage us, we pray, this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Alexander Pope, whoever he was, said, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And we know that Jesus was an expert at forgiving. He went round forgiving people. He forgave the four friends that let the fella down through they made a hole in the ceiling and let the fella down, the crippled man. And Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And of course, the people, the religious leaders said, Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is forgiving sins? Of course, Jesus has an advantage here because he's God and he knows everything. And so he said, Listen, what's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? He said, I'll tell you what, I'll show you that I have power to forgive sins. Fella, make up your bed, off you go. And he did. And so Jesus was very good at forgiving sins. And we come to this little story here, the parable that Jesus told about the man, the king, and his servants. And I'm sure we're familiar with this, but and I know we can't, when we went through Bible college, we were told that you can't make a parable walk on all fours. In other words, you can't necessarily take every little bit of the parable. There's a main reason for the parable. And of course, this parable is talking about forgiveness. Now, but there's a few things we can find out here. For starters, the king had a servant, and the servant owed 10,000 talents. Now, a talent in Bible times was an awful lot of money. I mean, it was an awful lot of money. This fella owed 10,000 times an awful lot of money, whatever that money was. You Google it and you're trying to figure out what a talent was in Bible times, you get all different sort of answers, but it doesn't matter. It was a gigantic amount of money. In today's money, most probably billions of dollars. Now, as to how he racked up that sort of debt, I don't know. But remember, it's a parable, and so we don't need to look at every single detail. But what it's trying to say here is he owed this gigantic debt that he could not pay, and so the king said, "All right, you can't pay this debt, so you are going to be sold." And that's what they did in those days. They didn't go to a bankruptcy court. They were sold. People were sold. Their family was sold, and they became servants to try and go some way towards paying that debt. So it was a gigantic debt. And of course, the obvious application there is we owe a gigantic debt to God. Our sin debt is a gigantic debt. We cannot even put an amount on it. It's a gigantic debt that we could never, ever hope to pay. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have this gigantic debt that we could never pay. It's just not possible. That's one reason most probably why hell does not have an end. There's no end to hell, because that debt, if we're going to try and pay our sin debt, well, we never can. We never can. And then the king was compassionate. The king was compassionate. In fact, verse 27, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt. The king was compassionate. And of course, we apply that to the Lord. The Lord is a compassionate God. He is a compassionate God. For time's sake, we won't go there, but Ephesians chapter 2 and so on talks about the love of God. And then John, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And you know, the world view, it's most probably not a new view, but the world view today is that if there is a God, he's a cruel, vindictive God. He's got a big white beard and he lives up in the clouds there and he sends down cyclones and lightning and storms and misery and destruction and just tries to make people miserable. That's oftentimes people's view of God. But that's not the God of the Bible. That's not our God. Our God is a God of love. He's a God of compassion. And we know that he proved that. But God commendeth, Romans 5:8, we could use the word prove there. God demonstrated, or God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So our debt to God is gigantic, but God is a compassionate God. And the entire sin debt of the world was paid. As the Bible says in the book of 1 John, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We don't understand how that happened, but we believe it. And we believe that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he was just about to die, we all know the words he said. What did he say? It is finished. What was finished? The payment for our sins was completed. That payment was made. The atonement was made. The substitution was made. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. And then, of course, forgiveness comes by faith. Not just believing any old belief, but faith in Christ based upon his finished work on the cross. So, we can rejoice tonight that our salvation, those of us who are saved, our salvation is the payment of a gigantic debt. It's a wonderful thing. It's an incredible thing. It's an amazing thing. Don't ever forget what God has done for us. He has paid that 10,000 talent, incredible, gigantic sin debt by sending his precious son to die for us and to be buried and rose again. So that's the obvious part of this little parable here, or the obvious, we should say, application here. But of course, there's a second bit here, and this is, I think, the main part of this parable is this. The forgiven must forgive. The forgiven must forgive. So the contrast here, the thing that strikes me about this parable is the contrast. We have a 10,000 talent debt, but that fellow who was forgiven went and found his fellow servant who owed him 100 pennies. 100 pennies. Now, does anyone here remember pre-decimal days? Pastor Christie, you remember that. I don't know if you're old enough, but you would remember that. 1966. Yeah, do you remember 1966? You remember that? You remember that, Mark? You were born. Well, you were 1 year old when decimal currency came in.
100 pence is actually about 20 cents.
Yeah. Well, whatever it was, a pence or a penny. Now, I know in Bible times it was a bit different. A penny, I think, was about a day's wage. So it was like 100 days' wages. But I remember pennies. Well, sort of, I remember. I remember sixpence. Now, sixpence was equivalent to our 5 cents. That was how it worked out, didn't it, brother? Yeah. Now, I don't know why fivepence wasn't 5 cents. Why was it sixpence? Yeah, I know. But why didn't we make... Was there a fivepence coin as well as a sixpence coin?
Or?
A shilling was 12. Okay, so there wasn't a fivepence.
No.
So there was a pence, there was tuppence, and there was threepence. My grandma used to always talk about threepence. Halfpenny is a half a penny. Yeah. Now Jeff knows all this. He's remembering this as though it was yesterday. But anyway, whatever it was, a pence wasn't much. So here we've got the contrast. We've got 10,000 talents against a few bob. So what's God saying? He's saying, listen, I've forgiven you this incredible, gigantic 10,000 talents, billions and billions of debt. Now, you've got 100 pence over here. Someone has wronged you. Now, notice this fella said he got him by the throat. The imagery here. He grabbed this fella by the throat and he's pretending to choke him or trying to choke him, saying, you're going to pay me that 100 pennies. And of course, Jesus said, well, hang on. You've just been forgiven 10,000 talents and you're choking someone that owes you 100 pence. So the forgiven must forgive. And again, I've got references here for time's sake and for my voice's sake. We won't go to these references. Ephesians 4:32, Mark 11:25, Colossians 3:13. We'll talk about the fact that we must forgive because Christ has forgiven us. So we need to be people of forgiveness. We need to forgive. Now someone says, yeah, but you don't know what so-and-so did to me. You don't know what they did to me. I don't have to know. That's 100 pence or 50 pence or threepence. God has forgiven us 10,000 talents. Okay, so, but you don't know what so-and-so said about me behind my back. No, I don't. I don't want to know. But it's 100 pence. We need to forgive anyway. Why do we need to forgive? Because I feel like forgiving. No, it's got nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. We must forgive because we've been forgiven 10,000 talents. So whenever you're tempted, if there's a little application for tonight, if ever you're tempted to hold a grudge, if ever you're tempted to not forgive someone, just remember that's pennies. That's a couple of bob. We have been forgiven it. 10,000 talents. Always must keep that in mind. Have we been wrong? Yeah, we've all been wronged. We've all been wronged. How do we know that? Well, because we've wronged others. We've wronged others and hopefully they've forgiven us. I'm glad for the people that have forgiven me for the stupid things I've done over the years. I'm thankful for a forgiving wife and forgiving mum. And I suppose forgiving brothers and sisters in the Lord. So when someone owes me 100 pennies, I need to forgive them. And you know, we need to put that forgiveness into action too. I'm just going to have a little slurp here. I remember, and I might have told this story before, I don't know. Most probably have. But when we were in the States in 2002, which was, we were nearly home again 17 years ago. We've been in COF 17 years. The pastor over there at this church we were at did us great harm. And we trusted him and he did some ministry-wise, things that were really bad and caused caused me, my wife, my family a great deal of hurt. But it's fine. We left it with the Lord. And we understood, right, even though it was hard what we were going through, we understood that the Lord had allowed us to go into this furnace of affliction. It was an interesting time of affliction. It wasn't so much physical, it was spiritual. But I forgave this fella. Well, I thought I did. But a few years later, just a couple of years, I was at a conference in Brisbane, and a particular preacher was preaching, and he said, listen, you need to, sometimes you need to put your forgiveness into action. And in fact, he said, not just to forgive, but he said, you need to return good for evil. I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. But when he was preaching, I knew God was speaking to me. So I knew I had to return good for evil. So this particular pastor, and by the way, he was thrown out of his church just a couple of years after we left for misappropriation of money and other things that were not good. But someone said, well, you were vindicated. Well, I suppose if you look at it that way, but I don't look at it that way. We just went through a hard time. But anyway, I thought, I've forgiven this fella, but I need to return good for evil. So I went and bought a really nice gift, little pen set it was, handmade and so on, and sent it over with a nice letter. And it was a genuine letter. I didn't say, you rat. I've got to return good for evil, you rat, you dirty rat. So here's something for you. No, I tried to be as kind as I could. I didn't say you're the greatest fellow I've ever met, you know, I didn't say that. But I thanked him for what I could thank him for. And said, here's a little gift, and I just, you know, I pray you're doing well, pray your family's doing well. And I did, prayed that the Lord would bless him. And it was like a great burden was lifted off my heart. So we need to forgive. Because if we don't forgive the 100 pennies, if we forget about the 10,000 talents, guess what? Guess who we're hurting? We're hurting ourselves. Whoever Lewis Smedes was, I got no idea. But he said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. A little boy was sitting on a park bench in obvious pain. A man walked by and asked him what was wrong. The young boy said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. The man urgently asked, then why don't you get up? The boy replied, because I figure I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me. The writer went on to say, how many of us handle forgiveness like this little boy? We endure pain for the sadistic satisfaction of believing we are hurting our offender more than he is hurting us. When we get off the bench of unforgiveness, both parties can begin to realize relief from their pain. While ever we try to hurt others, even if they've hurt us first, we're stuck to the bench and we can't go anywhere else. How many Christians? I know some Christians, a number of them. They are just stuck in this thing called bitterness. They cannot forgive. Some of these things happened decades ago. They cannot forgive. And they're sitting on the bench on that bumblebee, trying to hurt people more than they were hurt. But guess what? Whenever you're stuck to the bench, you can't move on in life. And sometimes, in fact, all the time, we just need to move on. And we move on by forgiving. Why do we forgive? Because we owe 100 pence or a few bob. We've been forgiven 10,000 talents. Always keep that in mind. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings of your word. And Lord, I do not deserve to be forgiven one sin. But Lord, I'm so thankful that through your mercy and through your grace, through the provision of your precious Son, the shedding of his blood, the perfect sacrifice, that Lord, I am forgiven. And Lord, may I just realize that, Lord, every day that I am forgiven, Lord. And may I forgive those who have wronged me, Lord. Thank you for our time in the Word, and bless the Kids Club for the remainder of this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, thank you.